We may turn to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 22. And as the Lord would be pleased to help us, we would seek to consider the words that you will find in verse 29 of this chapter. Jeremiah 22 and at verse 29. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. In this chapter we have the Lord's dealings with three of the last kings of Judah. They were the descendants of godly King Josiah. Josiah is mentioned in verse 11. And two of his sons and one grandson are mentioned here. And he had another son who was mentioned in the preceding chapter. He was Zedekiah. And he was the last king of Judah. He was the one that Nebuchadnezzar besieged and captured and blinded and took him away to Babylon to the day of his death. But godly Josiah was not succeeded by godly princes. You have, first of all, Shallum. And Shallum is also referred to as King Jehoahaz. And he reigned for 3 months. And Pharaoh Necho from Egypt came and took him away captive, and he never returned to the land of Judah. And that's what you have here in verse 10. He shall return no more, nor see his native country. And the name Shallum is the Hebrew for retribution, for revenge. And he was not in line to the throne, but he took the throne by popular acclaim, and he did not reign the few weeks he was on the throne in accordance with the word and the law of God, in accordance with the example that Josiah had set him. And the Lord took him away to Egypt in judgment. And he was succeeded by another worthless king, one of the worst kings ever on the throne of David. His name was Jehoiakim, and he was the brother of Shallum. And Jehoiakim, or Eliakim, as he was originally called, he was a wretched, persecuting, covetous, murderous, evil man. He persecuted a godly prophet, took him back from Uriah, and he took him back from Egypt and had him slain. He had Jeremiah persecuted and oppressed, and he burned the words of the Lord that were written by Baruch at the mouth of Jeremiah. He burned them in the fire. He didn't want to listen to the word of the Lord. Verse 18, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him. And then in verse 19, he shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. His body was to lie exposed to the frost. We were told that later on in Jeremiah's prophecy. What a dreadful end for the body of one who was high in state, lording it over the bodies of others. And his soul, if he would burn the word of the Lord, Ah, what would the Lord of the world do to his soul, to all eternity? And then there's another one, and he is the son of that king. King Jehoiakim had a son called Jeconiah, or Coniah. And he's also referred to as King Jehoiachin. And he reigned only for 3 months. And he was a very young man when he reigned for 3 months and 10 days. And he's spoken of here from verse 24 to the end of the chapter. He was a broken, despised idol. They thought when he came to the throne that he would be a great deliverer. But as soon as he ascended the throne, he continued to do evil in the sight of the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, who'd taken away his father Jehoiakim, and had Jehoiakim put to death and his body exposed and subject to all indignities, he put Coniah here, Jehoiakim, on the throne. Then he changed his mind. He came to Jerusalem himself and had Jehoiakim taken prisoner and carried away in chains to Babylon. And he was kept in prison for many years. All these worthless men. There was another one after them, Zedekiah. And you know about him. What happened to him? It shows you that godliness does not run in the blood. It runs in the covenant of grace, but it does not run in the blood. And each generation is held responsible for how they receive the testimony of God's word and how they act accordingly. And it's a very solemn responsibility that parents have to instruct their children in the ways of the Lord. And it's a very solemn responsibility that young people have as they grow to years of maturity to ensure that they follow in the ways of the Lord. If they've been shown that, if they've been taken to the house of God and instructed in the things of God's word, as these men all had been, what a responsibility upon the young then, and what a responsibility upon the old. Now, is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? And then in verse 30, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. The Lord is pronouncing judgment upon this man. He followed in the way of his father to do evil in the sight of the Lord. And now the judgment of the Lord has caught up with him and caught up with the evil doers of the house of David. And there's to be no more of them. It doesn't mean that the words here do not imply that he would have no children. It speaks of his seed. But it may well be that he did have family later on. And there are indications in the genealogies that that was so. And some think that Shealtiel and Zerubbabel and then all the way down to the line of the Saviour descended in this line. Others have a different view, but that's not important just now. They would not ascend the throne of Judah. They would not reign. That was the judgment of God. There would be none of them who would execute rule anymore in Judah of that particular line. And what is the lesson? Well, it's here in the words of our text in verse 29. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. O land, it could be translated in that way. The word for earth and land or country are the same. O land, 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 hear, listen, pay attention. This is the word of the Lord concerning these people. And the lesson is this. If they're going to be cast out of this land, out of the land of promise, if they're going to be taken out of the throne, if they're going to be cut off as a ruling dynasty from the throne, who had the promises, who had the favour of God, who had so much of my blessing over the generations, if they, who were like a signet, who were so close to me, they were so close to me, the Lord is saying, they were doing what it was requiring them to do as a king impresses his signet upon the document that he signs to do his will, to sign his decree. That's what the kings of Judah were supposed to be. And if they were as close as that, I will cast them off because that is not what they are anymore. Here is something that the Lord would have them pay attention to with the greatest, as something of the greatest importance. Something that all the inhabitants of the world should take notice of. When the Lord is ruling over the rulers of the earth, when the Lord is casting the wicked down, when the Lord is overturning the throne of iniquity, here is something that we must pay attention to. O earth, 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 it's reiterated three times. Because it is of the greatest importance to hear what God is saying in these events. And if the Lord will cast away those who had so much privilege and so much prophecy and so much light, ought we not to tremble? Who have far more privilege, who have far more light, who have far more opportunity, who have a far clearer revelation of the mind and will of God for salvation than anyone in the Old Testament church had. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Well, there are two things that we would desire to speak of here today as enabled. And the point is, when God loudly speaks, we must listen. When God loudly speaks, as he does here, we must listen. So the first thing then is that the Lord is speaking loudly to us. O earth, earth, earth. The Lord is speaking loudly to us. And then in the second place, that we must listen to what he says. Hear the word of the Lord. We must listen to what the Lord is saying. First of all, then, the Lord is loudly speaking. He's speaking to the earth. He's calling the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And that takes in everything connected with the earth. It's a very wide term. We begin with this fact, that the word of God in many places addresses the whole earth, taking in the natural world, the natural environment. We were singing that in Psalm 104 and Psalm 96 and in many other places. The Lord speaks it to the, as it were, it to the whole world, physically and morally. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. And you have it again there in Deuteronomy in chapter 4, where the Lord is taking, through Moses, he's taking heaven and earth to be witness to what he says. You have it in Isaiah, at the beginning of Isaiah's prophecy. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The heavens are to hear it, the earth is to hear it. It's the whole realm in which man dwells, including of the natural creation. The Lord is speaking to it all. Remember there in the book of Revelation, many places where man's destiny is bound up and pictured with the natural creation. You have it in chapter 7 of Revelation, where it speaks of the judgments coming upon the earth and upon the sea. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Again in chapter 8, it says there, verse 5, the angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. There were voices, thunderings, lightnings, an earthquake. And then the first angel sounded. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burnt up. The third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and so on. What are these things telling us? They're pictures of how the Lord is dealing with the people of the world. And time after time in the Word of God, we've seen how the Lord will judge people through judging the earth with famine and with pestilence and great judgments physically coming upon the nations. And these things are all voices. The Lord is speaking to us in these things. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And you see, it's all telling us that the Lord is in control of the world. Not man. Not man. The children are being told that they have the world in their hands. And people are being told today that we have the world's future in our hands, that we have the power to destroy it or to save it. Well, that's not scriptural. That's a false ideology. God will destroy the world with fire in his own time, when he has accomplished all his purposes, and not till then. And until then, there will be seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night. They shall not cease. Now, we're not saying that man can be irresponsible. It's a good thing to care for the environment, not to unduly pollute it, and to plant trees and all these things. These are very good things. But man is not in control of the world. God is in control. God could bring great judgments upon this generation through the natural environment. He can bring it upon us through illness, and he's doing that. He turns fat land to barrenness for sins of those who dwell therein. And he may bring great judgments of poverty and famine and pestilence and war upon the generations to come if they continue in this way. What he did to the house of Josiah, he may do on an unprecedented scale to the generation that we live in and generations to come. If we will not heed his voice, then it's inevitable that worse judgments it will come. The Lord's people know that in their own experience. When the Lord is chastising them for their rebellion and for their sin against him, he will chastise them with pinpricks. And if they do not listen to the pinpricks, he will give them hammer blows. That's a very solemn matter. The people of God know that. They know they need to be taught. They know they need to be chastised. They know that they provoke God's anger on account of their sin. How much more upon the wicked who do not listen? And if we will not hear the word of the Lord, in the pinpricks, then greater and greater judgments, hammer blows will come upon our civilization, on our society, on our nation, on our communities. Now, hear the word of the Lord, O earth, earth, earth. What the scripture is saying is that it is man who morally destroys himself by sin. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 11, it speaks of those who destroy the earth. Those who destroy the earth. The nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. The time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. That's a judgment coming. That's in chapter 11 at the end of Revelation. That's a judgment coming upon those who destroy the earth. There's no reference to physical, environmental things there. Those who destroy the earth are the liars and the idolaters and the unbelievers and the fornicators and the thieves and the covetous and the unbelievers and all who love and make a lie. We could go on. All these descriptions of the enemies of the people of God in the book of Revelation, who are on Satan's side. They're the ones who destroy the earth. They're the ones who bring God's judgment upon the natural world and upon the souls of their fellow men. O earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord. And when the world is spoken of here in a general and comprehensive way, it also takes in the passage, the chapter especially, is speaking of the rulers. And when the Lord calls the earth and he calls the people of the world to pay attention to his judgments, he's speaking particularly with reference to those who are in authority. As he was speaking to the house of Josiah here, so he speaks to rulers, to the kings of the earth. He is terrible. They have a terrible responsibility. They have great privileges. They have great power over their fellow men. And correspondingly, they will be judged with regard to how they have exercised that responsibility. Have they ruled in justice and in judgment? Have they ruled in the fear of God? That's the requirement of a ruler. He that ruleth among men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. How few in the history of the world have been of that way. How few in our own day rule in the fear of God. But remember what Psalm 82 tells us. God stands in the assembly of the gods. Those who have a delegated authority from God as rulers of mankind, they're referred to there in Psalm 82 as gods. But God himself, the highest, who is higher than the highest in this world, he stands in their assemblies. He takes note of their motives. He takes note of their actions, of their speeches, what they do and what they do not do. And the words of the prophet Isaiah, and in chapter 24, are very applicable when the heads of the rulers of mankind are gathered together in our nation, defying the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath, coming together, no word of God, no word of the word of God in their assembly. What does the Lord say? Chapter 24 of Isaiah. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land, that's to say the earth, shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. For the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Why? Because they were polluting the earth. Because of global warming. No. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The Lord is speaking in every event, in every providence. But he speaks in his word. And in that we have a more sure prophecy. We have a clearer revelation through the law and through the gospel of the mind and the will of God to the inhabitants of this world. That's what Jeremiah is directing them to hear. He was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, directing his words, perfectly informing his mind as to the will of God with regard to what was going to happen to these wicked princes. There's an evidence that the Bible is the word of God. You can't find prophecy in the Quran. You can't find prophecy in all the books of the heathen religion. The scientists, the philosophers, they cannot predict the future. But the word of God, the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. There's a very powerful evidence that the Bible is the word of God. It's given by divine inspiration. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah, one of the most eminent of them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Take a walk through Psalm 119 and see the perfection of God's word there. See the esteem that the psalmist had for the word of the living God. Jeremiah himself, he couldn't forbear, though the word of God was bringing him into great trouble with the rulers of his generation, though it was bringing him into prison and well nigh to death, yet he could not forbear, he could not cease to prophesy. The word of God was as a fire in his bones, and he had to speak the word of the Lord, and here it is. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Are you listening to the word of the Lord? We're going to come to that in a few moments. Our duty to listen to it. But you have it. You have the word of God. It is nigh you. It's in your memory. It's in your conscience. I hope it's in your heart, friend. Do you love the word of God? Do you receive it? Do you tremble at his word? It's the word, a revelation from heaven to your soul concerning sin, concerning salvation, concerning the Savior. God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son. This is what the Lord is saying. O earth, earth, earth. I'm speaking to you in the word. I'm speaking to you in the law and gospel. I'm showing you your need of a Savior. And I've provided such a Savior for you. Here he is in the word of the truth of the gospel. He's spoken to us in these last days by his Son. Think of the significance of that. God would be just to be silent towards the sons of men. It would be just to be silent toward you and to me, never to speak a word of peace, never to speak a word of warning, to leave you to go on in your way. But he's speaking. The Bible speaks as a living book. Oh, earth, 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 here is one who has taken the nature of man, who has the dust of the earth in the composition of his holy humanity. Isn't that a wonderful fact? Rabbi Duncan goes on to speak about it in connection with the exaltation of Christ, that the dust of the earth is on the throne of glory. O earth, 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 God is saying in the person of his beloved Son, I have taken the nature of man. I am the last Adam. I am the restorer of the earth. I am the one who will restore all things. I will restore the image of God to man. I will take sin upon myself. I will bear it away into the wilderness of my sufferings, in my great love to sinners of mankind, because of the love of my Father who sent me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I will take their guilt upon me, everyone who will believe in me. I will bear the punishment. I will love them unto the end, even to the end of the greatest sufferings, the unimaginable extent of the sufferings of the divine Redeemer, in his soul on the accursed tree of Calvary. O earth, 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 have you ever heard of anything more wonderful than this? To take away the wrath of God due to sin, to save sinners from going down to the pit, here is a ransom in the lifeblood, the royal, glorious blood of a divine Redeemer. O earth, 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 O earthly-minded sinner, here is one who has your nature, who was not earthly-minded, but who was heavenly-minded, who was the Lord from heaven, who is a quickening spirit, as we read of him in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the difference between Adam and Christ. Christ is able, he's a quickening spirit, he's able to give you a new heart, he's able to give you a new understanding, a new affection, a new desire, new life, eternal life. Who can do this? There's no one in the earth. Whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone? And in the earth whom I desire, besides thee there is none. Can you say that of Christ today, dear friend? None like Christ, who would bear my sin in his body on the tree, would bear the wrath and curse due to me forever. It would open up a new and living way whereby I might be received into the favour of God and have access to God in prayer and communion and have hope of eternal life. O earth, 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 have you ever heard such glad tidings? Well, his voice is to the sons of men. And to you, O men, I call, speaking to you in the word of the truth of the gospel. The second thing that we must consider is this. Are we listening to the word of the Lord? Are we listening to what the Lord is saying in providence, in the law, and in the gospel? Well, the words of the text plainly imply that we are not listening. That's why it says the word three times. You don't repeat a word time after time if someone is paying rapt attention to what you're saying. It's clear if you're speaking to a child, for example, or someone who's not following what you're saying, you have to say it again and again and again until they grasp what you're trying to say. And that's what the Lord is doing here. The repetition of the word is showing that no one is listening. Think of Jeremiah's congregation. It was very small. Baruch and Ebed-Melech and a few others, perhaps. How few would listen to the words of that godly, inspired man in his day and generation. And we do not listen. Remember in Psalm 58, there's a very vivid picture of how men do not listen to the word of the Lord. This is you, and this is how we are by nature. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. We're like the deaf adder that stops the ear. We will not listen. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. You can hear the gospel all your life. You can recount the words of a sermon. You can know the words of the shorter catechism. You can remember things that were said from the pulpit. But do you know the Lord of the word, friend? Have you had a meeting with the Lord speaking to your soul in his word? That's the great point. When the Lord is speaking, are we really listening? Are you hearing the voice of Christ in the word? But the reason we do not listen is because we are earthy. We are off the earth, earthy. O earth, 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 O clod of earth that is in your heart, O clods of earth that are before the ears of your soul, as it were, stopping your ears, stopping the word from making an entrance. Remember what Isaiah was told. He was going to prophesy to a people who would not hear. They would not repent. They would not be converted. Nothing greater that you should fear and to be left under the sound of the gospel, hardening in your heart from his fear, hardening your heart, stopping your ears, the word making no impression upon your soul. Do you realize, my dear fellow sinner, the height of your aggravated sin against heaven? To despise and reject Christ and the word of the gospel. There's no greater sin than that on your way to eternity. As we've said to you before, the Muslims and the poor deluded papists and the atheists and the heathen, they do not have the height of responsibility that you have as a gospel hearer. And if you continue in that dreadful course of hardness of heart, then your hell will be a far greater hell than the hell of the heathen and that of the atheists. And the devil himself and his minions, the demons, they never got an offer of salvation. There was no intimation of mercy towards them, and never shall be. There's an aggravation in your sin that not even the devil is capable of. Earthly mindedness, carnal mindedness, which is death, the great damning sin of unbelief, destroying your soul for an endless eternity. Oh, earth, earth, earth. Just a lump of earth. Nothing spiritual. Nothing holy. Nothing pleasing in God's sight. Is it not a wonder then that the Lord is still speaking? That he hasn't taken the word and the preaching of it away from you altogether. Surely the great urgency of the matter should be impressed upon you with the utmost seriousness today. You must listen. That's what Jeremiah was telling them. These dreadful things were going to happen, and they did happen. And the word of God always comes to pass. And when the word of God threatens eternal death to the unbeliever, eternal death will be the portion of the unbeliever. If you continue in unbelief, friend, eternal death will be your portion to all eternity. Hear the word of the Lord with regard to that. But hear the word of the Lord with regard to salvation. You have an offer of Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by your soul in glad gospel tidings today. Hear and your soul shall live, however earthly minded and hard hearted you may be. Hear and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We read of the Bereans, when Paul was preaching there, going round with the gospel, sent by the Lord, and they searched. We never heard these things before. Men of Berea in Greece, northern part of Greece. What we read of them is very noble. They were more noble-minded than others because they searched into these things, whether they be so. They made diligent search. They inquired. They took up the word of God that they heard. They were asking for light. They were asking for a blessing. They sought and they obtained. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. That's what the Savior is saying. Search the scripture. For in them you have eternal life. Here is eternal life. This is the record that God has made of his Son. He has given to us eternal life in offer in the gospel. And if you make use of that revelation by faith, you will be saved. Saved from sin, saved from hell, saved from the clutches of the devil, saved from your own wicked, desperately wicked heart. Saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Hear the word of the Lord. Well, you have it, friend. Now we may ask this question to the children of God. Is the word of Christ dwelling richly among you? Is the Bible as precious to you today as it was in times past? Are you making as much use of it? Perhaps memory is not as good as it was. Ah, that's true, but all the more reason then to be storing it up in your mind. We're reading there of a godly minister who Matthew Henry spoke of in his day, who was blind, couldn't read anymore. How did he exercise his time? How did he exercise himself in that situation? By remembering passages he'd learned, by going over passages of the Word of God that he'd learned in his youth, or memorizing new ones perhaps. There's something for older people to do. Is the Word bringing forth fruit? That's a great question for the people of God. Is it as precious to you? Is it becoming more precious? And if you're seeking Christ, there'll be times when you feel the Word of God is only coming out against you to condemn you. We remember hearing of a young man under sole concern in the Isle of Lewis. And every time he would go to his Bible, he said it was only bringing condemnation to him. But why did he keep going back to it? The Lord was drawing him. The Lord was striving with him. The Lord was not leaving him to depart and go away from his Word. And the time came when Christ was revealed to his soul. It was such sweetness and power in the Word. That's where you'll find Christ if you're seeking him. You'll find him in the Word of the truth of the gospel. And if you have never made use of the Word of God, or you've never really earnestly sought Christ for your soul in the Word, or if you felt you have, you are no longer doing so, then you are in a desperately dangerous position. If you're not making use of the Word, if you don't read the Bible in secret, if you don't pray that the Lord would bless it to you, if family worship, if you have it at all, is a mere formality, something just to be endured and got over as quickly as possible, something you're uncomfortable with, then the Bible will rise up against you in eternity to be a witness to you of how you neglected and despised so great salvation. How shall you escape, friend, if you neglect this Word of salvation? O earth, 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 hear the Word of the Lord. May he bless his Word to us.